ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, entitled Narada's Teachings to Vasudev. Text 11. No, text 10. सर्वेषु शश्वतनुभृष्ट्वासि अवस्थितम् यथाखम् आत्मानम् अभीष्टम् ईश्वरम् वेदोपगीतम् च न शृण्वते बुधा मनोरथानाम् प्रवदन्ति वार्तया। सर्वेषु शश्वतनिभृत्स्वभस्थितम् यथाखम् आत्मानम् अभीष्टम् ईश्वरम् वेदोपगीतम् च न शृण्वते बुधा मनोरथानाम् प्रवदन्ति वार्तया। सर्वेषु शश्वतनुभृत्स्वभस्थितम् यथाखम् आत्मानम् अभीष्टम् ईश्वरम् वेदोपगीतम् च न शृण्वते अबुधा मनोरथानाम् प्रवदन्ति वार्तया। यथा कमात्मानमभीष्टमीश्वरम् वेदोपगीतम् च न शृण्वते बुधा मनोरथानाम् प्रवदन्ति वार्तया। सर्वेषु शश्वतनिभृत्स्वभस्थितम् यथा कमात्मानमभीष्टमीश्वरम् वेदोपगीतम् च न शृण्वते बुधा मनोरथानाम् प्रवदन्ति वार्तया।
माताजी,
सर्वेषु शश्वतनुभृत्वमस्थितम् यथा कमात्मानमभीष्टमीश्वरम् वेदोपगीतम् च न शृण्वते बुधा मनोरथानाम् प्रवदन्ति वार्तया।
Word by word meaning, sarveshu, in all, shashvat, eternally, tanubhrutsu, embodied living being, avasthitam, situated, yatha, just as, kham, the sky, atmanam, the supreme soul, avishtam, most worshipable, ishwaram, ultimate controller, Veda Upagitam, glorified by the Vedas, cha, also, na shrunvate, they do not hear, abudaha, unintelligent persons, manah, manoratham of whimsical pleasures. Pravadanti, they go on discussing vartaya, the topics. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The personality of Godhead is eternally situated within the heart of every embodied being. Still, the Lord remains situated apart, just as the sky, which is all-pervading, does not mix with any other material object. Thus, the Lord is the supreme worshipable object and the absolute controller of everything. He is elaborately glorified in the Vedic literature, but those who are bereft of intelligence do not like to hear about him. They prefer to waste their time discussing their own mental concoctions, which inevitably deal with the gross material sense gratification, such as sex life and meat eating. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Vedaischa sarver ahameva vedyaha. The goal of all Vedic knowledge is to know the Lord, who is the absolute truth. Although this purpose of the Vedas is clearly revealed both in the Vedic literature itself and by the self-realized acharyas, foolish people cannot grasp this simple truth. They prefer to cultivate knowledge of illicit sex by discussing their sexual partners and experiences. They also eagerly describe and recommend to their friends the best restaurant for eating meat, and they are fond of glorifying drugs and liquor by elaborately describing the drunken and hallucinogenic effects of their sinful experiences. The materialistic sense gratifiers eagerly call one another on the telephone, congregate in clubs and committees, and enthusiastically go on hunting, drinking and gambling excursions, thus filling their lives with the mode of ignorance. They have neither the time nor the inclination to discuss the absolute truth, Krishna. Unfortunately, they neglect the Supreme Lord, who therefore severely punishes such foolish persons in order to bring them back to their senses. Everything belongs to the Lord, and everything is meant for the Lord's enjoyment. When the living entity dovetails his activities for the pleasure of the Lord, he experiences unlimited happiness. Yena sattvam shuddhayet yasmat brahma saukhyam tu anantam. There is actually no happiness in material affairs, and the Lord mercifully punishes the intoxicated conditioned soul to bring him back to his real life. Unfortunately, materialistic persons do not heed the advice of the Supreme Lord in the Bhagavad Gita or that of the Lord's representatives, who speak in allied literature such as the Srimad Bhagavatam. Instead, such sense gratifiers consider themselves to be the most eloquent and learned. Every materialistic person actually feels that he is the most intelligent person, and thus he has no time to hear the actual truth. Nevertheless, the personality of Godhead, as described in this verse, waits patiently within the heart of the conditioned soul, encouraging him to recognize the Lord who is sitting beside him. Such recognition of the personality of Godhead is the beginning of all auspiciousness and happiness for the conditioned soul. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam
परिजनासहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादा सगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। The personality of Godhead is eternally situated within the heart of every embodied being. Still the Lord remains situated apart, just as the sky, which is all-pervading, does not mix with any material object. Thus the Lord is the supreme worshipable object and the absolute controller of everything. He is elaborately glorified in the Vedic literature, but those who are bereft of intelligence do not like to hear about him. They prefer to waste their time discussing their own mental connections, which inevitably deal with gross material sense gratification, such as sex life and meat eating. Hare Krishna. So, at the very outset, would like to welcome everybody to this Srimad Bhagavatam class. I crave the blessings of all Vaishnavas gathered in this room, so that I can speak something on this topic. So, since time immemorial, self-realized and advanced and exalted souls have always shown compassion for those who are less privileged than themselves. These spiritually advanced devotees have spiritual treasures which they want to share with the common person who doesn't have access to them. So this is their compassion. Now Prahlad Maharaj, when he was asked by Lord Narasimha Dev as to what benediction he wants, which benediction did he ask? He said that, I don't want any benediction, but if at all you want to give me a benediction, please liberate my father. The very person who had tortured him, who had harassed him every day of his life, just because he was not following Hiranyakashipu, was following the Supreme Lord Narayan. So, Prahlad Maharaj wanted to give something to his father. That is his consciousness. Then, we similarly find Vasudev Datta, you know, begging of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Begging of him to liberate all the suffering souls on the planet. All the suffering souls on the planet. And for that, he was willing to take on their karma. Their papa karma and the results of their papa karma, he was willing to take on himself. This is compassion, real compassion. We talk of compassion in this world, but real compassion is what is shown by such wonderful spiritual personalities. The sages of Naimisharanya, they perform a 1,000-year sacrifice and they ask Srila Suta Goswami questions, all for the benefit of suffering humanity. So, this way we find that every advanced devotee has the same consciousness. Our own founder Acharya Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, at an advanced age, he left Vrindavan and went abroad. Why? He went there to give Krishna to the suffering humanity there, to make the hippies into happies and to give Krishna consciousness to the entire world. So this is how the consciousness of advanced devotees works. And the same attitude we find here on the part of King Nimi, who is very fortunate to have the rare association of Navayogendras. each Yogendra is a highly, you know, advanced yogi. And he is so fortunate that all nine of them have converged in his kingdom. And what is the consciousness of King Nimi? He is not gloating over his good fortune. He wants to ask questions to these Navayogendras for the benefit of less privileged people, for the benefit of humanity. So this way he is asking questions. And we find that the nine Yogendras, one by one, have answered his questions. So thus we find that Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pippalayana, Avirahotra, Durmila, all these Yogendras have answered King Nimi's question. It is not as if King Nimi was individually accosting people. He was addressing questions to the Navayogendras in general. And one Yogendra at a time was answering to the satisfaction of King Nimi all the questions that he had in mind. This is really phenomenal. It's not that the Navayogendras, you know, talked on intercom with each other. What did you say? You know, what had you mentioned? No. It's just spontaneous. They are in a spiritual world and they want to give benefit to everyone. So, this way, they have been asking questions. And now we have Chamasya Rishi answering the questions of Nimi, King Nimi. And what is the question that King Nimi has asked? Of course, there have been some classes on this subject earlier also. But nevertheless, what is the question that he asked? All of you are most perfect in knowledge of the science of the self. Therefore, kindly explain to me the destination of those who never worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's asking about them, not asking about himself. Those who are unable to quench their natural desires. Those who are not in control of themselves. So saying that what happens to these people? And they constitute the majority in this material world. How many people are there who are on the liberated platform? Comparatively very less. Those who need such spiritual succor, they are in majority and they are all involved in worldly affairs. No? So King Nimi is very much concerned. So this once again reflects the compassion of King Nimi for those who are bereft of spiritual platform. In other words, King Nimi wants to give a spiritual platform to these suffering people also. And these people are unable to quench their desires. The desire for sense gratification can never ever be satisfied. It is like pouring, you know, petrol or gasoline or ghee into a raging fire. It will keep on consuming. That way the desires are never end. They never end. You can never ever really think in terms of quenching the desires. So all along in our Vedic literatures, exalted masters have been giving advice that don't run after sense gratification. Huh? Don't run after sense gratification. The purpose of human life is quite exalted, and we have Rishabhdev advising, Nayam deho deha bhajam roke, kashtan kaman arhate vidbujamye, te tapo divyam putraka, yena sattvam siddhe, yasmat brahma saukyam tu anantam. So that is referred to here in the purport. So brahma saukyam, so anantam. So Rishabhdev is advising his hundred sons. He says that don't waste your precious time running after, you know, things that are there for sense gratification. The purpose of human body is not for that at all. The purpose of the human body is, you know, for self-realization. So as to, you know, pleasing your senses, this is done by even, you know, hogs and dogs. Huh? They also do the same thing. They also go through the same type of sensual pleasures. Only human beings may be on a sophisticated platform, but they may be in the street. But nevertheless, they also go through the same thing. So don't waste your time of that. Go after that which is never ending, anantam. Brahma saukhyam anantam. So go after that. So this is the advice which Rishabhdev is giving to his sons, and that is referred to by the commentators in the purport here also. So in his book, Science of Self-Realization, our founder Acharya Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he cites five reasons why we are not able to achieve the goal of life, which is self-realization. Five reasons. Very simply put, I'm just summarizing the thing, not elaborating. He says that the first thing, first asakti, which keeps us all the time desiring things, is that we have attachment to material body, our own material body. Attachment. And why is that? Because ignorance of spiritual facts. Prabhupada used to time and again hammer and hammer wherever he went, especially in the US, that you are not the body, you are the spirit soul. But here, due to ignorance of that, we keep on pampering, keep on satisfying the desires of the human body. The second one is attachment, not to one's own, you know, wife, children, relatives, kinsmen, brother, brother-in-law, this, that. Attachment through various people, connected through the body. We are connected to different people through the body. First we are born, and then, you know, we have, of course, mother, father, and then we have so many other relatives. Cousins, second order, third order, fourth order, so many. So many relatives, so many friends, all that. So attachment to them. So satisfying desires on their account. Then the third one is the attachment to land of one's birth. Attachment to that. This is the third asakti. This is the third anchor, which actually anchors the boat of human life from going back home, back to Godhead. This is the third anchor. And that is attachment to the land of birth, one's own house, attachment to furniture, never ending. We are attached to a particular chair. If you travel in a train, you become attached to a particular window seat. This is how we are. That is how human beings think and operate. So all these attachments. Then the fourth one is attachment to material science. You know, people are attached to material science. Physics, chemistry, this, that. My bread butter was chemistry anyway. So you become attached to that. Never-ending attachment. You want to make progress. You want to show to the world that you have contributed to this science. But in the process, what happens? You are completely bypassed spiritual science. So at the cost of spiritual science, you know, you try to make progress, you know, in material sciences, in innovations, in this, in that. I'm not condemning those. In this modern world, you do require all these, but nevertheless, being attached to this at the cost of spiritual science is something very, very bad. I remember when I was in the university, people used to come and ask me that you are supposed to be doing research, you are a student of science, and you are guiding PhD students and all that. How come, you know, you are reading Bhagavad Gita? What is this? And then I would tell them that Bhagavad Gita is science of the soul. It is also science and the supreme science. So I am benefiting by that. So this way one can convince others. Then the last one is attachment to ritualistic religion. You get attached to rituals. Not to the spiritual, but to the ritual. We get attached to that. And that way we develop so many desires. So we are not able to satisfy those desires. So the primary reason is basically attachment to our own body and attachment to sense gratification, primarily sexual sense gratification. That is the main thing. So Chamas Rushi states here, he says that Vedopa Gitam Chana Shrunvate Abhuda Manorathanam Pravadanti Vartaya. Very significant words, very powerful purport disciples of Srila Prabhupada have written in this. Very, very powerful words. Says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is elaborately glorified in Vedic literature, but Abhudas means unintelligent people, what do they do? Manorathanam pravadanti vartaya. So they are involved, you know, in just, you know, prajalpa, gossiping and, you know, trying to satisfy their various desires in their mind. So they waste their precious time. Time is very, very precious in human life, and yet they waste their time all the time. So this is wrong. So what do they prefer? It's very written here. They prefer to waste their time in prajalpa, their own mental concoctions,
which inevitably deal with gross material sense gratification. They think they are very brilliant, but they spend their time in discussing such things as sex life, meat eating, all kinds of whimsical pleasures. This is what is mentioned here. So, in a strongly worded purport, the Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they mince no words. They have used strong words here in this. Mince no words and state that such people prefer to cultivate knowledge of illicit sex by discussing their sexual partners. See, very explicit words have been used in the purport. By discussing sexual partners and experience, best hotels for eating meat, best hotels, you know, for indulging in drugs, so on and so forth. So apparently, on a material platform, they are all intelligent people, they have progress in life, they are CEOs and they are this and that, you know, holding very topmost positions in society. But at the level of the soul, big zero, they utilize their time, they go, they also understand that simple, you know, working doesn't give happiness, so they want to, you know, enjoy themselves, enjoy, you know, life size, you know, enjoyment they want. So they go to this club, that club, night club, and what do they do there? They discuss all these things. So this is the graphic description which of the current state is a current scenario. The disciples are describing the current scenario in what is happening in the society. Now, they have not mentioned it, but in all the clubs and other things, swapping of partners, exchanging one's wife and, you know, interacting with another's wife, that is also quite common. So, such degradation has taken place in the society. So, bereft of Krishna consciousness, this is the fate of animalistic society. That is being depicted here in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, which you have to understand. So, Chamas Muni is highlighting the hurdles in God realization. And that is the question which has been asked, and he is answering it. He is saying, this is what happens to people who don't worship the Lord. This is what happens to them. They fall down, you know, they fall down from their path. And of course, Chamas Rishi has suggested some solutions for these people also. It's not that he's callous about them, but nevertheless, this is what happens to people. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, there is a beautiful verse which also describes something similar. It says, Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavayena cha vavayaha divascha artha ihaya rajan kutumba bharanenava. Again the same thing. It says that the lifetime of a householder, how is it spent? How does the time go? It is passed at night either by sleeping, that takes up the time, or in sex indulgence. And in the daytime, how does he spend time? In making money or maintaining family members. So this is how people waste their time. Now, we are not condemning maintenance of family members. Family members need to be maintained by all responsible grihasthas have to maintain their family. It is their bounden duty. So that they can lead a Krishna-centered life. We are not criticizing that. This is how people, most of the time is taken up in this. So, ayushya kshano e kopi na labhya swarna koti bhi. Chanakya Pandit says, ayushya kshana e kopi na labhya. You can't even buy a moment of your life by swarna koti bhi. You may put at the disposal of everyone and, you know, swarna koti. Crores and crores of gold coins you give, but still you can't buy the moment. So time is so precious. So this time is wasted. Therefore Shukdev Goswami tells us that, you know, we should not be wasting our time. Because in any case, sleep does take up our time. In any case, maintenance of our family does take up our time. What has to be done, has to be done. But don't waste your time. This is the precious advice which we get from these texts. So, in the purport we have just read, it is mentioned that materialistic sense gratifiers eagerly call one another
on telephones. They make telephone calls and then they say, you know, such and such a hotel serves such and such a food. Come there. What would imagine a devotee of the Lord, you know, in similar situation? He'll say, come to Vashi. There is such a satsang program there. You know, so and so, you know, is giving a class. They are also using the same telephone for the same purpose, but they are utilizing for a divine cause. This is the radical difference between materialistic consciousness and spiritual consciousness. Devotees also call one another frequently. Tell the sham ko chalo udhar aaj ye karyakram hai wahan ye hai yahan ye satsang ho raha hai. So and so is speaking on 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you must come. They also pressurize, but in a totally different way. And how does the materialistic person pressurize? You come there, first class, food is served there. That is the way he will, pressurize. So both are doing pressurizing, but one is doing for spiritual cause. So we find in general that most of the people, they neither have time nor the inclination to discuss Param Satya, Krishna. So what happens to such people? That is what is the question that has been asked, and it has been answered earlier by saying that the Navayogendra here, he says that such people, have to take shelter of, the Chaturvarna system, and slowly and gradually, they will, change over their life. Such people also have to take shelter of Krishna eventually. So, now, what do we have to do? The purport begins with Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Vedaischa Sarver Ahameva Vedyo. Now this is a beautiful verse from Bhagavad Gita. It says, Sarvasya Chaham Hrudi Sannivishto Matta Smruti Jnanam Apohanam Cha Vedaischa Sarver Ahameva Vedyo Vedanta Krut Veda Vid Eva Chaham Sarvasya Chaham Hrudi Sannivishto. We don't have to go searching for the Lord in the Himalayas. Krishna as Paramatma is in our hearts. He is there. All that we have to do is take shelter of that Paramatma. We have to take shelter of Him. So, he says that everything comes from me. Remembrance comes from me. Knowledge comes from me. Forgetfulness comes from me. By the Vedas I am to be known. Everything is the fountainhead of everything. Sarvasya, and he is in Sarvasya Chahamruti Sannivishto. He is not there only in the heart of pure devotee. He is in the heart of every living entity. That is the compassion of the Supreme Lord. He is in the heart of everybody as Paramatma. So we have Atma, Jivatma or Anuatma, and we have Paramatma. He is there in every living entity's heart. Now today if I got up in the morning and remember that I am Vrishabhanudas, supposed to give a class today, that is Krishna's mercy. I could have got up in the morning thinking that, I am Hitler and try to, do genocide. No, Krishna gives us the memory. He gives us the memory. You are so and so, you have this to do, this responsibility. So Paramatma within the heart is constantly guiding us. How grateful we should be for this mercy of the Supreme Lord. So elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ishvara sarva bhutanam ruddesha arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. So he says again, he's reiterating, he's saying that the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities. So he's there in our heart. We don't have to go searching for him. Of course, In the form as Archa Vigra, he is there here. Radha Gopinath, he is here, standing before us. And we are fortunate to be here in this temple at this time. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or He Himself as Krishna, as the localized super soul, sits in the heart, directing the living entity. Now, this is a very important thing. Now, we human beings change our bodies very frequently. So today I may be so and so, but in previous life I may have been a microorganism, or in any other life, you know, I may have been a hippopotamus. But whatever the body, you know, whatever the body, you know, I possess, that body is animated by what? By jivatma. Tiny, 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 tiny jivatma. If you take the end of a hair, you know, split hair, balagra shatagrasya, if you take just an end of the hair, cut it into 100 parts. Now, first of all, you can't catch hold of the end of the hair, one single hair. Then cut it into 100 parts. To cut something, you have to hold it in your hand. Cut it into 100 parts. And then each part, you divide into another 100 parts. That is the size of the soul. We can think about it. It's unimaginable. No, the most powerful electron microscope discovered in science cannot, you know, hope to, you know, focus on this soul. So soul is, you cannot ever think in terms of, you know, catching hold of the soul and, you know, understanding about the soul. But we are there, the Shastra tells us that it is there. So the Jivatma actually is encaged in this human body machine. We are like a machine. It is encaged, you know. It is encaged between the gross body and the subtle body, made of different constituents. We won't go into that. And when a particular spirit soul or a jivatma is to be transferred from one body to another body, it is the Paramatma who, you know, arranges that. So the role of Paramatma in our life, whether we know it or don't know it, but it's good to know, therefore we read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, so we don't remain in the dark. So whether we know it or not, Paramatma does so many things for us. So many beneficial things for us. Now, every first Sunday of the month of August, since 1935, is being celebrated at Friendship Day. Friendship Day. Now, who is the best friend that you can ever think in terms of? So many times friends are, you know, fair weather friends. When everything is nice, goody-goody, they are with you. And, you know, once your days are, you know, you are no longer, you know, able to provide them material happiness, they reject you and go away. So, these are called fair weather friends. But there is this friend, Paramatma, who, life after life, we have passed through 8.4 million species of life. And through all these, somebody who has accompanied us, that is Paramatma, that is our true friend, that is the real friend we have, who has accompanied us. And that Paramatma is the one who guides us from within. He guides us from within, tells us this is the right thing to do, this is not the right thing to do. You should do this, you should not do this. Now, very often we are not able to hear the voice of Paramatma. Paramatma is there within us, but we are not able to hear it. Why? Because there are so many, you know, it's like His Grace Radhesham Prabhu in his book gives the example of a radio, you know. You unless you tune it properly, you know, you hear it's so many sounds keep emanating from that. But when you tune it nicely, you hear the right sound. Similarly, you know, the voice of Paramatma can be heard when, you know, you are a follower of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. When you are on a spiritual path, or when you are leading a sattvic life, you can hear the voice of, and that is Paramatma's voice. Sometimes people think that, you know, they have heard Paramatma's voice. How much time do I have? I have time now. So what happens is that Paramatma's voice is there. There are so many voices. One of them is Paramatma's voice. We are not able to distinguish or discriminate. For that, we have to be on the right path by following the process of Krishna consciousness, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. We can appreciate that which is, what is Paramatma's voice. Now, Paramatma's voice is something which can lead us in the right direction. And what does Paramatma do? Paramatma is the closest to us. He is the dearmost friend, very close to us. All other friends. And because he has traveled with us through life after life, life after life, he knows every little thing that you have in your heart. your every desire he comes to know. Beware, you know. There is nothing that is hidden from Paramatma. You may think that you are hiding things from Paramatma. You may think that you are being sly. But no, everything is heard by Paramatma. Paramatma knows everything. He deciphers whatever is going on. But Paramatma, what does he do? He does not interfere in what you are doing. But he will allow you to reap the result of your karma. He will allow you to reap the result of your karma. He will facilitate that. He will ask Prakriti to, you know, fashion things for you in such a way that, you know, you can reap the results of your karma. When you are changing bodies, you know, he will ask the Prakriti to shape your body in such and such a way, according to the karma, according to the desires you have. So, in numerous, unlimited ways, you know, Paramatma helps us. Paramatma helps us, protects us. So we have to be very grateful that the Lord is eternally residing in our heart. But sometimes, you know, it can so happen that we can get guidance not only from Paramatma. If you are on the spiritual path or if you are on the right track, you can get guidance from somebody else also. Somebody is saying something, you hear it, and suddenly you think, oh, this is it. This is an instruction for me from the Supreme Lord. I would like to give you two examples. One example is that of a famous personality mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, Lal Babu. So, heard of him? His personality. This was a big zamindar in Bengal. Great zamindar in Bengal. A devotee of the Lord, but not able to take the plunge, you know, ultimate plunge, you know, for renouncing everything and going. Many times he had a desire to go to Vrindavan. He says, I'll go to Vrindavan, you know, and, you know, I'll wear saffron, you know, I'll do madhukari, and, you know, I'll lead a very simple spiritual life. This way he used to think. Many times, you know, he would think in his mind, but never got down to doing it. So, one day it so happened, it is described in the Nectar of Devotion, that he went out, he went to a nearby well, where two women, you know, were taking out water from the well, and they were discussing among themselves. One of the women said to the other woman, "My God, it's late! It's late! It's late for you! Go now! We have to do it! You have to go! Are you still not thinking of going?" No, they are not talking about going to Vrindavan. They are talking about some household affair. But this Lal Babu thought, this is an instruction from the Supreme Lord Krishna as Paramatma in his heart. He thought that this is the instruction for me. So immediately, he renounced everything. The instruction was not from a guru. Instruction was from some ordinary people discussing some trivial things, but still, because your heart was prepared, so he left everything and he went to Vrindavan, renounced everything to Vrindavan. And when he went to Vrindavan, he took shelter of a guru, and he said that, "Please give me initiation." The guru said that, I have no instruction from within. You know, my Paramatma within my heart has not instructed me to give you initiation. You'll have to wait for your time." And that is because this Lal Babu had still not got rid of envy in his heart. He still had envy in his heart. So he said that, "You start doing madhukari from now onwards. Start doing madhukari. Go to every house in Vrindavan. Do madhukari. Then, you know, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, smartavyam satam Vishnu, na visvartavyam jatuchit." So always remember and lead a Krishna conscious life. Then come to me after some time. So Lal Babu followed the instructions of the guru. He started doing madhukari everywhere. He was visiting all houses, but he was not visiting one particular house. Why? Because that house belonged to his competitor in previous life. He was a businessman and here was another businessman, and there was envy in his heart for that businessman who was so successful. Now, envy doesn't require any cause. We can be envious of anyone. Huh? So he was envious, and because of that envy he was not able to go for Madhukari to that particular person's house. So life went on for some time, and he started thinking. The Paramatma within his heart made him reflect. He started reflecting, why is it that, you know, my Guru Maharaj is not giving, you know, diksha to me? Is it because, you know, I am envious? I still have envy within my heart. If you have envy within your heart, you can't make spiritual progress. Huh? Arjuna gets, you know, the instruction of Bhagavad Gita because he's ansuya. He doesn't have asuya in his heart. So he says that maybe is this the cause for my not getting, diksha? So he started thinking, and really, I have gone to every house in Vrindavan, but I have not gone to this person's house. I should really once and for all, you know, get rid of my envy for this individual. So he goes to his competitor's house, knocks the door. The servant opens the door and he is shocked. Lal Babu, he has come. And how has he come? Jholi phailake, you know, he has spread his jholi and has come for, you know, Madhukari. So he calls his master. He says, please come and see who has come. He has come for begging. So he says that master comes out. He sees him. He is also shell-shocked. He says, then what is this? But then he does come. And then he says, then with tears in his eyes, you know, he begs for forgiveness. He says that in past, you know, many, many, many occasions, you know, I have hurt you. I have been envious of you. Please say that you have forgiven me. Please forgive me. So he begs, and then that person, of course, gives him Madhukari and also forgives him from the core of his heart. And when he does that, that is the time, you know, immediately his heart is cleansed of envy. His heart is pure enough. So he goes to his guru, and even before he has to say anything, guru says, come, I'll give you diksha. So this way, Paramatma within our heart also can give us guidance through some X, Y, Z in our life. I don't have time for another story. Do I have time? Anyway, just one more story I would like to narrate. And this is very, very beautiful episode. So what is that? Just want to refer to one point. This is, in short, a story of Bilvamangal Thakur. Bilvamangal Thakur, great Vaishnav, you know, saint in our time. He has written several books. His songs are so popular. Great devotee of Lord Krishna. So this Bilvamangal Thakur, he was, you know, very much in his grihastha life, was very much attached to a prostitute. He would visit her every day of his life, not a day passed. Something what we are reading here, the same type of life he was leading. All the time involved in sexual relationship with that prostitute. Every day of his life he would go. He was so much used to, and to be able to go to her, he had to cross a river. You take a boat, hire a boat, cross the river, then, you know, you have to go to that prostitute's house. So this way he would climb, and the prostitute's name was Chintamani, and this Chintamani was a Krishna Bhakta. Doing bhakti is not the domain of only anybody can be a devotee. So she was a Krishna Bhakta. But this man was absolutely obsessed by her. So every day, you know, he would pine for that lady. It's so much so that one day there was Shraddha ceremony of his father. There was a Shraddha. When the Shraddha ceremony was going on, what was he thinking of? He was thinking of Chintamani. Chintamani, the prostitute. He was thinking of her. So somehow or the other, he was always thinking of her. And in the process, he thought that I will go anyway. But it so happened on that day, you know, there was a furious storm. The river was in spate. No boatman was willing to ply. And this man here, he leaves everything, Shraddha, he just somehow winds up and runs to the river. Finds no boatman, so desperate to meet her. That he says, now what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? He looks here and then he sees something floating. He goes and catches hold of that object which is floating. That object is a corpse. So he takes help of that corpse, crosses the river, goes on the other side. He goes on the other side of the river, and after going there, it's pitch dark. Huh? So he doesn't know what to do. Somehow or the other, he finds the house of the prostitute. She's on the first floor. Huh? And then the gate is closed. He climbs up the gate, you know. Then he has to get into the room of Chintamani. How does he do that? So there is nothing to hold by. So he climbs a tree. From the tree, you know, he's looking for some support. Then he sees a rope. It's not a rope. It's a snake. It's a snake. He catches hold of the snake. Somehow or the other crosses and gets into the room. All wet. Exhausted beyond redemption. On the point of almost fainting and collapse, he goes there. And then this Chintamani looks at him and says that, oh, if only, you know, you had fraction of attachment that you are showing towards me. If only I had a fraction of the attachment for the Supreme Lord Krishna, your life would have been totally different. She says this line, just this one line, and that moment, Bilwa Mangal Thakur's life is transformed. Totally transformed. So the Paramatma within the prostitute's heart prompts her to say these words. And the Paramatma within the heart of Bilwa Mangal Thakur now tells him that this is the time to quit. So immediately he quits. He quits this material way of living. And then there is a further long story. I won't go into the details. But he quits that. Anyway, one tiny detail. Even after, you know, taking the saffron clothes, after renouncing everything, that attachment for, you know, sex doesn't go. So once, you know, while he is going towards, you know, Vrindavan, he sees a family, a man and his wife, and the wife is very beautiful. He feels attracted towards that lady and requests that Yajman, you know, that, you know, I want to, you know, have interaction with your wife. Now the Yajman is shocked, but he sees his person is, you know, in this clothes. Then he says, he's hesitant, but then says, okay, maybe yes, yes, no, yes, no. But finally, that lady comes to him. So at that time, suddenly Bilwa Mangal realizes how deplorable he has been in his, you know, desire for sex. So unsatisfied sex desires, quoted here in this. So he realizes that. Then he asks, you know, for chuda, you know, that what they call the pin, which ladies use for. So he asks for that pin and pokes out his eyes. Pokes out his own eyes. He says that these eyes have always betrayed me. They see, you know, dhyayato vishyan pumsa sangasteshu upajayate. So these eyes, you know, see any object of beauty and they get enamored. Because of these wretched eyes, you know, that again I became attracted to you, but now, you know, I know for better. And then he goes. Then he leads a spiritual life. Eventually, he has wonderful, you know, association of the Supreme Lord Krishna himself. Krishna himself tends to him. Tata Gopinath Bhagwan ki. So this way, there are so many things that are possible. So attachment, you know, in short, we realize that what this purport is telling us is that our attachment to, you know, material things will never ever cease until we realize that we have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. We try to hold the hand of Krishna, then our attachment to, you know, material things will go away. Otherwise, material things will continue to obsess us, will continue to harass us, our consciousness. So we have to catch hold of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And the best way of catching hold of hands of Krishna is to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki.